produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
This is Minister Brenda Litsolenyane Inspirational Talk on United Kingdom Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett.
Good day, saints. Hope you are well. Praise you, Jesus. The word of God is never late. Hallelujah. It's only delayed, but never late. Father, we just want to thank you for your loving grace. We thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. We thank you, Lord, for your dynamis power, O God. When you feel weary, when you are challenged emotionally, physically, you give us matla, matla, matla. Or those who wait upon the Lord, you shall renew their strength. Thank you for strength, Papa, in the name of Jesus. You know, a song that comes into my mind right now, into my spirit, says, Ndi koke lewu uye ova di. Si yami unamandla u namandla nginawo nginobuthakathaka umsindisi wami o umsindi Siyo sindi si guweo guweo lite balami. Praise you, Jesus. Ooh, Jesus, wena kwena fela tshepo ya rona. Hallelujah, ulithemba lethu. Praise you, Jesus. Ndikhokhele kuwena Jehovah. I just want to thank the Lord for being with us. You know, we serve a God that is a God of promise. Praise Jesus. Ooh, in the book of Joel, he says, I will restore that which the cankerworm, the locusts, the great locusts have eaten. You know, I was just going back to what God has been saying from as way back as March 2019. God has been faithful. He has also been saying to us, hallelujah. In the book of Genesis, my children, I promised you that you will replenish, you will multiply, you will be fruitful. Praise you, Jesus. That's what I said to you. Thank you, Jesus. To Abraham, God, you said, go to the land, I will show you. Ha! Praise you, Jesus. And I will bless you. Thank you, Jesus. And you also said to Joshua, you know, do not fear, do not be discouraged, for I, the Lord, am with you. Praise you, Jesus. To Isaiah, you also said, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God, you are a God of promise. Thank you, Jesus. You also said in the book of Joel, chapter 2, he said, in the last day, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. You said, upon all flesh. There was no discrimination when you said that, oh God. You said, upon every human being. Ooh, Jesus, Lord, I love you. Lord, I appreciate you. We serve a Father of promise. In the book of Isaiah 57, you said, I will expose your righteousness and your works, and they will not benefit you. Ooh, Jesus, everything we thought was righteousness, everything that we thought we are laboring for God. God says, I will expose your righteousness and your works, and they will not benefit you. Ooh, when you cry out for help, he said, let your collection of idols save you. The wind will carry all of them off like a mere breath. Thank you, Jesus. So where are the idols? Where are the idols? Our qualifications, our positions in workplaces, positions in family, all that defines us, you know. our economic power. Where are those things? Mudimara will expose your righteousness. Today, our righteousness is being exposed. Hallelujah. So righteousness in this context means relying on God and doing what God wants us to do. Praise you, Jesus. Remember, he's not only asking you to do something without a reward. Remember again, we also shared about how God called Abram. When Abram was called to God, by God, out of what? Out of Haran. Praise you, Jesus. God said, leave your country, your people, your father's household. Yeah? Imagine, leave everything and go to the land I will show you. So God is also asking us today, hey, remember, I cautioned you. I said, leave everything. Leave these positions that you think you have. You know, your people, your father's household. I'm not saying physical departure, but God is saying resign. Resign from that which you think carries weight. Quit. Give up. Surrender. Relinquish. Vacate. Escape. Praise you, Jesus. Because I've got something that I want you to experience. So there was a message from God. And there was also what? There was a promise that God said. There was an instruction, there was a promise. But now what I love about Abraham is that there was an action. Children of God, it doesn't help us knowing what God has said and what God is saying if you are not taking any action. Remember when the week started, the question was, are you fulfilling God's purpose? God said, I want you to do this. Minister to people. Share the word to people. If you cannot press a button and say, you know what, let me send it to someone. People have a tendency of saying, I own this word. I follow a minister so-and-so. I follow preacher so-and-so. Ooh, men and women of God who are trying so hard to empower and enrich us, if they only knew that we are keeping these things to ourselves. That's not ministry. Why would you be a follower of that person? It's because that person is making impact. The question is, when are you going to make impact? You make impact by sharing information that you think it's wealth. Every time you receive manna and you keep it to yourself, that's being selfish. Hallelujah. So let us learn from these giants, you know, for biblical heroes, people who took an action. They made sure that they replicate what God has given them. Thank you, Jesus. So maybe we are also asking yourself, my dry bones, my situation is dry. Drought cannot be changed into anything profitable up until when you do what? You speak the word. So you speak to the dry bones. Dry bones are your nation. Dry bones are people around your life. Some of the things are not changing because you are looking at, I'm going to speak to my own dry bones. What about the nations? Because when God took Ezekiel to that valley of dry bones, God was not saying, it's your home situation. God was saying, it's a nation out of your loins, just like Abraham. You know what? I will bless you. Praise you, Jesus. So there are people who are waiting for us. There are people who are saying, you know, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty for the word of God. And then when you have the word of God and you are quiet, guys, how can we multiply in the kingdom of God if we still choose, just like Saul, we are choosing what is relevant to us. I'm choosing the fatlings. I'm not kill everything that God said I must kill, that which belongs to the Amalekites. Now I'll keep the fatlings. That is why God was saying, what is the bleating of the sheep? You know, God spoke through what Prophet Samuel directly to Saul. Saul, Mudim is asking you, but what is a revelation? What is manna? You are keeping that to yourself. So la bona bagaitse, ga re ka tlogela go nka Bible, ra e lebella the way Modimo a buang le rona ka teng, ra nka the way Modimo a tshong ka teng, not the way rona re naganang gore Modimo bua le rona ka teng. And ke rata because ha o ka checka le Mark chapter 10 verse 52, Bartimaeus, o ile a bulega matlho. When he heard, wait, I love the word, ne? Ukana ipala yon. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, awutla fela, ne? Amongst the crowd, arai nama na ke khale man. I've been holding this position. I don't know what position was he holding. I've been busy doing this up and down, but I'm going to go to Jesus. And he cried out, he said, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. And what happened when you read that chapter? We hear that Jesus stopped. He stopped and said, call him. Praise Jesus. Imagine when Jesus stops, when everything stops, the parade stops. God says, no. Eh? The proceedings stopped because there was a person who spoke from the heart, who said, I'm resigning from everything that I thought I have. Bona, I give a true offender right now, but this is what I'm telling you, because if I don't tell you, I won't be doing justice. Whatever role you play at church, I see what you are busy doing. Bona, uarera, umuruti, evangelist, whether you are a pastor, whether you are a minister, whatever role you do, you are in the ministry of health. But Mamela, you need to call unto Jesus and say, Son of David, have mercy on me. Praise Jesus. Ah, and Jesus will say, call him. He will stop. Thank you, Jesus. And what Jesus did, he threw his cloak aside. Hi, man. Not Jesus. Sorry, guys. Bartimaeus threw his cloak aside, meaning that he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. He didn't even think twice. He didn't even ask the leader. He didn't ask anyone. The problem with us, we are asking people, am I doing the right thing? Should I do it? I'm challenging you today. Go and ask for help from Jesus. And Jesus said, asked him, do you want me? What do you want me to do for you? Amen. Jesus is asking you today, what do you want me to do for you? His response was, Rabbi, I want to see. Praise Jesus. Father, I declare right now in Jesus' mighty name, that kind of attitude where your children will jump up and, you know what, and throw away their cloak and come to Jesus. And Father God, they say the words, Rabbi, we want to see you. Lord, I choose those words today. I choose to have your sight. In Jesus' name, Lord, I seal this prayer with the blood of Jesus. Guys, may you be blessed as you ponder on God's word over the weekend. I love you and appreciate you. Stay blessed.
Good day, Saints. Hope you are well. Ntse le morata ntate Modimo. Hopola ntate Modimo witse ho rona. I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but I gave you a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. We invite the power of the Holy Spirit in this place. In Jesus' mighty name, the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, let every knee bow down, let every tongue confess. We command them to confess. We command them to bow down that Jesus is Lord. Praise Jesus. So now, I just want us to remember what the Lord has done for us. And in the light of us remembering what the Lord has done for us, let us also try to reciprocate that by serving the community of God. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. I'm going to play this song just to remember. Asika matla how. Asika chisewu. Impaide kamoya mdimu. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus. Okay, you can see that. See and you see what me oh Kilo can go Gen my musa no tango wako Jesus See and see me Gilo can
Praise you, Jesus. Uphakeme, uphakeme. Eh, yasho yavuma ngisho ne radio yaphezulu. Praise you, Jesus. Uphakeme, uphakeme, ubuhle bakho. You know, Nkosi yami, thank you, Jesus. So we are just playing this song just to remind ourselves, hore, you are who you are, not because of your doing, not because you pray too hard, not because when you know what to do and things that you are doing, but you, we are saying here, we are who we are today because of His grace. Thank you, Jesus. So, Iri, in the book of Praise Jesus, let me just, it's Corinthians chapter 1. Hallelujah. You know that our brother Paul, you know, has empowered us a lot. And if we read about people who have empowered us, we have made an impact in our lives. Now I'd like to challenge us and ask this question. What role are we doing? Are we also empowering others? For the fact that you are reading about Paul, and we should be asking ourselves, and when are people going to be reading about me? What is it that I would have done? When are they going to listen to my two stories about me? You know, and because who you are today is for you to enable others. So go Corinthians, the book of the Lord says, go verse 23. I'll start from 19. The Lord says through Apostle Paul, He says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent. I will frustrate. So now we are living in the times where our righteousness is being exposed according to the book of Isaiah 57. We are now aware of what we thought we knew. We knew the times and seasons. Maybe we thought at this time, this is what is going to be happening. You know, the Lord is, the Lord says this and that and that. But you realize one day when we woke up in the morning, things had completely changed. Things had completely changed because there was an announcement on our headlines, breaking news. The pandemic has what invaded the world. And this is just a sign, Hore, we are not intelligent. It's also a sign, Hore, heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will remain forever. It is also a sign that he who begins a good thing shall surely finish it. In the book of Genesis, when God said he created the heavens and the earth, when he said, let us create, we were also created by him, so we are part of the beginning of God. So he will finish it. It means he will finish what he has started. If he wants to create, you know, a clay or create a vase of noble purpose, he will do it. If he wants to create it of common purpose, he will do it. Because he's the potter. If he wants to get us extinct as human beings, he will do it. So now what I'm saying, let us not bank on the fact that our prayers are more effective to change the mind of God. But God says, I hear the prayers of the brokenhearted. Well, I wonder if there is a distinction. We can pray because we think we are Christians. Hey, in my church they said we must pray. And you start praying. But God is saying, I'm not looking for such. I'm looking for people who will pray earnestly. That's why the fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. So availeth much because you choose your space sometimes. You are not defined by a group. You listen to the voice of God and you start what? Start praying. Praying for children of God. Praying for your family. Praying for your business. It's a challenging time and seasons for businesses. You know, the recession is saying, no, we are not going to recover. But remember, what goes up is bound to come down. Hence, Ecclesiastes 3 says, there is a time for everything and a season for everything. So it means where we are right now, we might not even understand. But bona, go tlo feta. Akere ntho engwe le ngwe ya feta. Yeah, this too shall pass. Praise you, Jesus. So Paul says, go verse 23, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. Verse 24, but to whom God has called both Jesus and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Yeah? So, for the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men's strength. So, the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. Amen. But who? Imagine, you think you are wise, and you think God is foolish. So, the Bible is saying here, the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. Imagine, yeah, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Praise you, Jesus. So it means, Rona, we have been created by God, and everything that we are and everything that we think we will be, it's in the hands of God. So your future is in the hands of God. So I'm saying this because I'm directing it to me, Eskele Brenda. Brenda, utlakansa ing. Usabuti, the God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than your wisdom. The weakness of God is stronger than my strength. Woo. So Paul is warning us, because he was warning the Corinthians, verse 26, not to think of themselves wiser than others. Not many of you were wiser by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of a noble birth. How Bala, verse 26, that's the connotation. Hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. So, verse 26, not many of you were wiser by human standards. Not many were influential. Born, Motarna, I'm an influencer. Hey, we are influencers, but not many of us were influential. Jesus is the only man that was more influential, because us being influencers, we are determined by socioeconomic standards. Whatever is happening now can affect your market. You know, for people, maybe abana data, they cannot be able to, you know, to like and comment. So, not many were influential, not many were of a noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. So, when people think they are wise, that's when they're foolish. When people think they're foolish, foolishness sometimes brings humility, because you are now saying, I'm dependent on the higher force, and that is God. And God will do what? God will use you as a weak thing to shame the strong. Praise you, Jesus. So you'll shame the wise, you'll be strong, and you'll shame what? The weak. So he chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. So sometimes people think they've arrived, they know this. Born, a gona ntho e phalang go ikokobetsa kontate modimo. Batho ba ri kokobetseng. So as you do that, pray for other people. That's what I'm challenging. You are not strong, you are not wise, you are not intelligent. Gore wena o tlo gona o bontsha ba bang gore yo rona ga le rapela la bona. Maybe unzo rapela, marapela, not according to God's will. So God is saying, let us repent and pray for other people. Hallelujah. Ngubego, haki kwala kaena ori, ni logo enguyo. Akitibis koza handle. But because of him, upageme wena baba, because I wasn't this person, but I'm this person because of your grace. May you stay blessed. Amen. I love you.
This was Inspirational Talk by Minister Brenda Letsholenyane, produced by Caleb Paget on United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World.
Produced by Caleb Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA. 1-347-850-8560. 1-855-850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Greetings to the listeners of Finding My Way Radio everywhere in the world. This is Apostle Jezile. Today we're going to talk about the importance of feeding our spirit. It is so very key that we are watchful of our spiritual diet, because if we want to grow, if we want to have a very mature, strong, nutritious spirit, we must definitely watch our diet. Actually, we will know that we are actually in this mess that we are in now because of what we ate from the Garden of Eden, when the devil, in the form of a serpent, came to convince Eve to eat from a forbidden tree, so eat a forbidden fruit, and that led us to be in the chaos that we are in. But praise be to Jesus, who came and rescued us to such a mess. Let us find our foundational scriptures in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 35, in the King James Version of the Bible. And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." This is very key, like I said in my opening statement, that one of the things we need to know, which Christ himself has highlighted, is the issue of hunger and the issue of thirst. They play a very big role in a Christian life. They play a very, very important role in the life of a believer. Because if you have to go far, you must be fed well. If you have to go far, you must not be dehydrated. He addresses two things: issues of nutrition, issues of being fed for the road, issues of being well taken care of your liquids, which he equates it to test. We know water in the Bible equates to the Holy Spirit. Bread equates to Jesus Christ. So the true core of a Christian walk with God. You can never go far with God if you are not eating the word of God. And who is the word if it is not Christ, who was with God in the beginning, who was God? And the Bible in John chapter 1 says, and the word become a flesh. These are key things, because that which is spiritual is equated to what is natural. So there must be a very strong balance in a Christian life between what God has given us naturally to prophetically decode the spiritual issues or dimensions of what our natural realm is trying to communicate to us. No wonder the Bible says, and the nature is waiting for the true sons of God to be revealed, because there is so much spirit in nature, and there is so much nature in spirit. These things are more like hand in glove. Everybody has to know that when God created the universe, he made these visible things to depict to us the invisible things. So when Christ says, "I am the bread of life, he who comes to me shall never hunger." In other words, Christ is saying, if you have to be strong in life, you must eat the bread of life. In John, again, he continues saying, "I am the life." But again, in John, he says, "I am the bread of life." That means there is life, and then there is the bread of life. So in order for you to enjoy life, in order for you to endure life, in order for you to survive life, you must not only have life, but you must also have that keeps you strong, which is the bread of life, Christ himself. He says, He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. These are two things, taking you back to the Garden of Eden. When the serpent came to Eve, he tested him in issues of what must be eaten, because what you eat, it definitely informs who will you be. So Eve was tricked and deceived by the serpent when the serpent said to her, you must eat the fruit, for God knows that on the day you eat, you shall be like him in knowing good and evil. So when we eat, there is a level of revelation that comes to us. But that which we eat is also equated to what shall be revealed to us. Because the devil says there is a food that when you eat, you become aware of what is evil and what is around you. And if that is the case, because we know there were two trees in the Garden of Eden, there was also the tree of life, which represented Christ. So in other words, then the devil can never point you to eat from that which will reveal the more of Christ in you. Whatever devil is projecting to you, revealing to you to eat, it has something to do with you feeding who he is in your life. Whatever you drink, it also reveals who he is in your life. Or if it does not reveal who he is in your life, it reveals who Christ is in your life. We can have a whole lot of examples. There is a whole lot of things that people drink. Some of such is the amount of liquor people consume, which tends to reveal who is in their heart. So what you eat or drink always reveals what is in you. Paul makes a powerful statement about eating and drinking and says, whether you eat or drink, do it for the glory of God. There must be something that which we eat reveals. So today, and I want everybody everywhere as you are listening, when you read the Bible, you must have a revelation that you are feeding your spiritual man. So in other words, you need to be conscious of what you are consuming into your spiritual man. Will it make him strong or will it make him weak? The fact of the matter is that we have Christians who are truly malnutritioned when it comes to the word. They only rely and depend from the word that comes from the pulpit. From there, they don't even go home and verify the truth of what has been preached from the pulpit. That is why we need to be very, very aware that when the word is preached, let's make a follow-up to go see that which has been preached to us, that it comes from the word of God, because that's the food that will make or break us. So as we continue with this message, I want you to also look at Daniel chapter 1, when Daniel was actually challenged with the issues of what must be eaten. When the eunuchs that was submitting to the king, Nebuchadnezzar of the time, came with a diet that was meant to be eaten by all young lads. But Daniel purposing in his heart, that is verse 18 of chapter 1, purposing in his heart, watching the delicacies that are on the king's table. Because you must understand that in the issues of nutrition, it's not important to be full, because you can be full of the food that is not healthy. You can be full of the food that can make you have stomach cramps. You can be full of the food only to find that the food itself is poison. So what is very key about what you eat is not only to be full, but is also to understand what it does to you. Because there must be a change when you are on the right nutrition. Look at what these guys are saying to the eunuch, to King Nebuchadnezzar, say, give us 10 days. So in other words, when you are eating something nutritious, why should it take you 10 years to change? Why should it take you a lifetime to change? Because if it is so nutritious, it got to change you, and you are not the one who's going to say, look, I have changed. Your peers will testify that there is something about you. We all know, if we have to take this practically, when you're on a special diet, those who last saw you having gained some weight, some pounds, kgs, according to South Africa, you will find people noticing that because of the special diet that you are eating, you have shed some pounds. And you don't have to say it. They will say themselves that, what is it that you are doing? We see that you have lost some weight in your life. Only then you are able to say to them, no, I'm on a special diet. So in other words, when you are on a special diet, it shows. When you're on a special diet, it does not only give you a good shape physically, it also gives you health physically. If it does act physically, imagine the spiritual diet. We can't feed on the word of God and remain the same. Christ says something profound in John chapter 6, verse 35. He says, whosoever shall come and eat of this bread shall not hunger again. So in other words, some of the worldly things that we are hungry for can only be dealt with the word. Some of the worldly things that we are so thirsty and hungry for, that thirst cannot be quenched by the things that the world offers. It can only be quenched by what the word offers. We have a beautiful example in chapter 4 of John again, when Christ has a dialogue with the woman at the well of Jacob. When he comes and starts a dialogue with, where is your husband? And he says, I have no husband. He says, you have well said. That was the start of the dialogue. But the key thing in the dialogue is the issue of water. When Christ says, can you give me water that I may drink? And the Samaritan woman says, but you have nothing at all to get the water. Christ says, if you knew who asked water from you, you would actually ask water from him, because the water I will give you, you will not thirst again. Again, his revelation from above, Christ is saying that the move of this woman from one man to another man is a spiritual thirst that manifests with physical habits. So in other words, there can be physical habits that are actually pointing to your spiritual need. Remember that God is a God who is so full of grace and mercy. He will rather show up in your situation like he did to a Samaritan woman. So if we have to change our habits, if we have to change the way we look, if we have to change the way we speak, if we have to change our walk, we can only do it by taking our master's advice, who said, I am the bread of life. If you eat of this bread that I am, you shall never hunger nor thirst again. We need that because we are hungry for so many things. We need that bread because we are hungry for the things that are destructive to us and our family. We need the water that Christ says he is, so that we do not thirst for the things that are destructive to us. We don't need to drink things that reveals our nakedness. We need to be sober at all times. I love, this is what Paul says about the issues of drinking. He says we must not be drunk by wine that is full of dissipation. We must rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. There is also a contrast in that scripture. We must not be drunk with wine, but we must be filled with the Spirit. So in other words, when we are filled with the Spirit, therefore our quest and our thirst for other things is already quenched by the Spirit of God. We need to make sure that we are always filled with the Spirit of God and full with the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. We need Christ in our life. We need the Holy Spirit in our life. Without these two in our lives, we will be found wanting things after things, fashion, cars, houses, and everything else. Actually, I think now what the gospel has turned out to be, it has turned out to be about what we wear, and it has turned out to be about what we drive. It has turned out to be where we stay. And all these things are natural signs of a spiritual cry. This is the message that I'm bringing to you across, that to feel your thirst, to feel your hunger, we need Christ. This actually became the highest test, because Christ upgraded this message from bread to meat, because he had some point he said to his disciples, if you want to be truly my disciples, you must eat my body and drink my blood. And they say, this is now too much of a teaching. And the rest left him. Only the revelator and the Peter kind of disciple was left with Christ, with a revelation that where can we go from you? Because issues of life springs from you. So it is very key that as we walk with Christ, we are able to go from one dimension of maturity to another dimension of maturity. And the only thing that can help us is to feed in the Word of God. We got to eat the Word of God. John says in the book of Revelation that I heard the word that says, eat the book. Eat is the book. And he says the book became bittersweet. We can no longer pick and choose what we need from the scriptures. We can have the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation speaking to our heart. If it rebukes us, we got to repent. If it gives us a pat on the back, we got to praise. But we can no longer pick and choose what suits us from the scriptures. We must taste the bitterness of it. We must also taste the sweetness of it. This is what Exodus chapter 12 deals with it. When Israel is about to leave Egypt, God commands them to prepare a Passover lamb. And it says, you must eat the whole lamb. Nothing must be left. And that lamb was referring to the Christ who will hang on the cross later. And later, this is the Christ who reveals himself as the bread of life. Remember that they were also commanded to make bread without leaven, so that the bread stays fresh and stays longer. It is very key that the word we eat, we understand that it is for our sustenance. Remember when the word of God came to Elijah at some point and say, rise up and eat, for the road is so long. You must know that what you eat prepares you for the journey with the Lord. That is why you cannot compromise what you listen to. That is why you cannot compromise where and who prepares food for you. It is very key that you understand that the food you eat is going to prepare you for the road. We must understand that again, as we read our scripture in the basis and in doing justice to this topic, is that in the basis of what we eat, we are also preparing ourselves for a journey we do not know how long it is, only heaven knows. So in other words, whatever God provides for us, he knows that it is what we need for the journey. But having said that, as we mature in the Lord, we have also a responsibility to check what we are fed by those who are assigned to be the overseers of our souls. We must check. How do we check? Whenever a message is preached, one must go home and make a follow-up to it. Not just to criticize the message, but to make a follow-up until it sinks to your soul. I wish you hear what I'm saying. not just go home to get a wet pen to keep what was said right and what was said wrong. There is nothing wrong with that, but the major thing should be that let me go back and eat again so that it sinks in my soul. It rejuvenates my body and refreshes my spirit and prepares me for a journey ahead. We need to eat the word of God. We need to feed in the word of God, for it is the food for our soul, body, and spirit. When we fail to do so, we do no justice to ourselves, and we can blame nobody. Paul says, by now you ought to be eating meat, but you still need milk. In other words, these are dimensions of what we eat. These are dimensions of food, and this food provides us different nutrition for our spiritual walk with God. It is not fair that one at the stage where he's supposed to be eating meat, but he is still feeding and drinking milk. We must grow up. We must upgrade from what we eat. It would not be naturally correct, neither naturally accepted, when a child forever feeds on milk and never go to solid food. By now, we need to be Christian in our churches that are ready for eating meat. Cannot again get offense from the word that came from the pulpit when you're no longer a milk Christian. You cannot be offended again by a prophecy that seeks to push you towards your destiny when you are no longer a milk Christian. Remember, meat requires teeth. You can't eat meat if you don't have teeth. That is why as you grow, you develop teeth naturally. I wish that you also do the same spiritually, because the teeth actually are preparing you for solid food, because the teeth are a sign that your body is ready for something a little bit stronger than what you have been drinking. So you must also take notice that we move from drinking to eating. It is very imperative that the Christian must understand this dimension of food and the nutrition thereof, which are a symbol spiritually, that we move from drinking to eating. At some stage, we also mix drinking with eating, because these two also work for the easily digestion of what is fed in our spiritual life. We must grow. And as we grow, we also come to a dimension where our food is not only prepared by somebody else, but is also prepared by us. So we can no longer, as we mature spiritually, blame somebody else for our growth and maturity, because we must come from drinking to eating, from eating to prepare what we need to eat, not only rely on a Sunday sermon service that is going to be dished to us by our pastor. There is nothing wrong with that. But as we mature, we must come to a place where we are also eating food that is prepared by us. That is also even more powerful, because if you prepare food yourself, you know what goes to your pot and you know what comes out of your pot to your plate. So it's very key that as a child of God, we mature in these dimensions. We launch into the deep. We are no longer children tossed to and fro. We are now matured in issues of doctrine, that there is no devil from hell that can preach a powerful message. And we say amen, because we are not sure whether it is or it is not. We must be able to say a truth from hell is equal to a lie, because there comes a time, and that time is now, where false prophets are all over the world, and they don't just come empty-handed. They come with look-alike real prophecies and miracles. But when you are matured enough, you don't get fascinated by such. The last dimension that I want to dish out is that as you mature, you choose the things you eat and you choose the places where you eat because you are matured. It doesn't matter how nicely decorated the food can be and the plate can be. If you are not interested, you won't eat. That is the Daniel dimension, because I know for sure the delicacies from a king's table are truly the delicacies. But it takes a mature man to say, I'm not only looking for nice things, I'm also looking for nutritious things. May the good God bless you as you digest this message in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Wherever you are listening, I pray that the Lord will bless you, will multiply you, and expand your territory as we mature and grow together in the things of the Lord. Launch into the deep. Amen and amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Good day, everyone. You're listening to United Kingdom Radio Network USA World. My name is Chief Ambassador Chi, all the way from Johannesburg, South Africa. And welcome to this broadcast today.
Brothers and sisters, we are grateful for this time. Today and any other day, more especially in this time of crisis, where we are on an international shutdown. Or lockdown, actually, where radio has become so relevant because we are not allowed to congregate as churches in a building, you being the church, in specific buildings or even out there in public. By law, we've all been ordered and requested to stay indoors here in South Africa for 21 days, and I heard some parts of the world as well are on a lockdown. So with that being said, we're thankful that we still have an opportunity to share the word with you from the comfort of our homes, as I'm doing it as we're speaking from the comfort of my own home. Church can still be attended in spirit, because that we go into before this lockdown is a building, it's not a church. You are the church. So with that being said, we're thankful to the Lord for those who have made this possible, those of you keeping us in prayer, as we also keep you in prayer and your families too. And let us obey the law of the land and, most importantly, obey the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Brethren, do you feel as if you're not good enough just because of rejection from some group of people or from someone? Or even from family, those you are born to or with. Do you feel as if what you give is not good enough, even though it costs you literally so an arm and a leg to be of good service to certain people? Or just you being you, you feel that you're not good enough for a certain group of people? Look, here's the thing. No matter how good you may be, you could even be recognized as the best in the world. But here's the thing, there are still some people who will dislike you just for the sake of disliking something that you've done personally unto them, but it's just something that is in them to have no desire to like you. I want you not to feel discouraged. It's normal. Look, to this day, can we point out actually what the Lord Jesus did to offend the world? There's nothing you can point out of intelligence in that matter where Jesus offended anyone of this world or of the kingdom of this world. In fact, he laid his life for all of us, but the world still hates Lord Jesus and denies him his lordship. Look, as much as the world may think he's a phony, does not exist, some of them even say it's like ancestral worship, he is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, regardless of whatever opinion you may have, because it's not even fact. Now, the same with you, created in God's image and likeness. You can't be discouraged by people's opinions concerning yourself or your life. Trust me, the more you do good for those who dislike you, the more they hate you. It's just something in them. Their hearts are hardened. You can never buy people's love, yet alone respect. It's not possible. So I'm here to encourage you. And I'm going to go just to just show you that you're not the only one. Even to this day, I mean, we're still facing such animosity from our brethren, even those who were born with. Don't be discouraged. It's all normal. As long as God is pleased with you, that's all that matters. Now, where I'm going to read is in the book of Exodus chapter 2. Now you remember, the Pharaoh demanded that Hebrew boys be killed, or babies. For what reason? Only reasons known to himself. But let's see what the Bible says. Now a man of the house of Levi went and took as his wife a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful and healthy, she hid him for 3 months. When she could no longer hide him, she got him a basket made of papyrus reeds and covered it with tar and pitch. Then she put the child in it and set him among the reed by the bank of the Nile. And his sister stood some distance away to find out what happened to him, or what would happen to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile, and she and her maids, or maidens, walked along the river's bank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid and brought it to her. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. And she took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew's children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a wet nurse from the Hebrew woman to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go ahead." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses, and said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Let's end it there. Let's end it there for now. Who kills babies, man? Now, with this, it's not someone who's in the belly. It's someone who's already born. And not that I advocate abortion, because abortion is killing a baby. It's killing someone alive. You cannot change people's hearts. When someone's heart is hardened and evil, leave it to God for God to change it. You can never do anything or even speak or what's the word I'm looking for? Or even try to be diplomatic about it. No matter how much sense you may speak or try to show and drive this person's throat or brains, you will never change one's mind, especially when their heart is said to do evil or is evil towards someone, yet alone yourself. I feel the need to continue. On verse 11, it says, "One day, after Moses had grown, it happened that he went to his countrymen and looked at their hard labors, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his countrymen. He turned to look around, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. He went out to the next day and saw two Hebrew men fighting with each other. And he said to the aggressor, 'Why are you striking your friend?' But the man said, 'Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?' Then Moses was afraid and said, 'Certainly this incident is known.'" Look, I don't advocate killing. I personally don't advocate killing. Although, here's the thing. His own countryman spits in his face and uses the same thing that he did to try and liberate his fellow countryman, or his countryman, his fellow Hebrew brother, from the cruelty he suffers at the hands of the Egyptian oppressor. But now when they fight and they argue, he uses the very same thing. In trying to help his own countrymen, he uses a fellow Hebrew brother, uses the same thing to spit in Moses' face. No matter what you do for people, if their hearts are turned or intended to do evil against you, nothing of logic, even the Bible itself, can change their hearts. That is for God to do. With that being said, I mean, don't lose your joy over those who reject you and those who really have no compassion for you or on you or upon you or for you. You can't lose your joy over people's opinions about you. No matter how good of a job you have done or performed for them. Now, Let's go to our next scripture. In the book of Matthew chapter 2 verse 13. Matthew chapter 2 verse 13. It reads as follows. Now when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt. And remain there until I tell you, for Herod intends to search for the child in order to destroy him." So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet Hosea. "Out of Egypt I called my son." I mean, who wants to kill a baby? With an evil heart, or anyone for that fact. No matter what Jesus' purpose was on this earth, King Herod still had the desire to kill the baby Jesus. Now, with those of you that know me, when it comes to certain things or something like this, of people disliking you, you know, I can't end a teaching without going to David and King Saul. We'll read from the book of 1 Samuel. First chapter 18. And we'll read from verse 10. In fact, let's start from verse 6. As they were coming when David returned from killing the Philistine, the woman came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, joy, and musical instruments. The woman sang as they played and danced, saying, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s." Then Saul became very angry, for this saying displeased him. Okay, let's read that again. Then Saul became very angry, for this saying displeased him. And he said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, but to me they have ascribed thousands." Excuse me. "Now, what more can he have but the kingdom?" Saul looked at David with suspicion from that day forward. Now, as we continue with our reading, just to show you that there's no good you can do for anyone whose heart is hardened, especially hardened against you. Let's continue in verse 10 of First Samuel chapter 18. Now it came about the next day that an evil spirit from God came forcefully on Saul, and he raved inside his house while David was playing the harp with his hand as usual, and there was a spear in Saul's hand. Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, "I will pin David to the wall." But David evaded him twice. Now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. But he had departed from Saul. So Saul and David removed David from his presence and appointed him as his commander of thousands, and he publicly associated with the people. David acted wisely and prospered in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. When Saul saw that he was prospering greatly, he was angry of him. Oh, sorry, he was afraid of him. Let's read that again. When Saul saw that he was prospering greatly, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he publicly associated with him. Then Saul said to David, "Behold, I will give you my older daughter, Merab, as a wife. Only be brave for me and fight the Lord's battles." For Saul thought, "My hand shall not be against him, but let the hand of the Philistines be against him." David said to Saul, "Who am I, and what is my life of my father's family in Israel, that I should be the king's son-in-law?" But at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, she was given to Adriel, the Meholathite, as a wife. Now, let's skip that part and go to 19. Let's go on to 19. As we leave the remainder, skip the remainder of verse 18. Now his son Jonathan and all his servants to kill David, but Jonathan, Saul's son, greatly delighted in David. So he told David, "Saul, my father, is seeking to kill you. Now then, please be on guard in the morning and stay in a secret place and hide yourself. As for me, I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak with my father about you, and if I learn anything, then I will tell you." Then Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul his father, and said to him, "May the king not sin against his servant David, since he has not sinned against you, and since his deeds have been very beneficial to you." But he took his life in his hand and killed the Philistine, and the Lord brought about a great victory for all Israel, and you saw it and rejoiced. Why then would you sin against innocent blood by killing David without a cause? Saul listened to Jonathan and swore, "As the Lord lives, he shall not be put to death. Let's end it there, even though I advise that you read it. But even though we know that Saul didn't keep to the covenant, he still desired to kill David. But here's the thing. Why did he desire to kill David in the first place without any cause? And it was beneficial for David to serve under his lordship. Why? Here's the thing. If people's heart or hearts are said to be against you, there's nothing you can do to convince them to think otherwise. So please be encouraged. Don't let people's opinions or hate or stupidity define your joy or peace in life. More especially if they hate you for the sake of Christ. Look, they still don't acknowledge Christ to this day. You hear all these stupid sayings. Jesus is an ancestor. Jesus never existed. Jesus was a fraud. Jesus was a sinner. The one who died for all of us and washed away our sins, that we may have life. He's been mocked to this day. But does that change the value of the Lord Jesus? Of course not. Let me take this clear example. When you take your German cars, people see elegance, and it's as if you command respect when you drive one of those cars, especially if you go to your Mercedes-Benz or BMWs or Audis. But now, when you go to your eastern side of the globe, no matter how luxurious the car is, and technology it has more than these German vehicles, your signature German vehicles, your Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and Audis, people don't take it seriously just because they have already concluded in their heads that anything that comes from the East cannot be on the same level of German-made vehicles. It's the same way with people. And whereas those who are actually smart are actually going for these cars of the East. They're convenient, they offer more technology, and are more generally reliable. Take that as an example. No matter how good you are, if people have concluded in their heads that you're not good enough, there's nothing you can do. All that you should just do is just dust your feet and continue with your peace and your path with God.
Well, that's all we had time for today. Let us meet next week, same time, same place, the Lord willing. This is your radio station, United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. My name is Chico Tu, all the way from Joburg, South Africa. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings to you in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Anna Mochana from South Africa on Finding My Way Radio Network. And the program is Refreshing Times. And I bless the Lord that we are connected once more to share the word of God together. I trust that the Lord will refresh your spirit, renew your mind through his word today. My topic for today, we're talking about how to overcome our daily challenges. So my topic says overcoming daily challenges, and I'm reading the word of God from Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We are in the race, and we need to remember whenever we encounter challenges on a daily basis that we are in a race. And the word of God says we must take to run on your race. Yet you have so many things that you are carrying. You won't be able to run as fast as you are supposed to, but instead you will slow down. So because of these things that are happening in our lives, we find ourselves slowing down now and then because of the challenges. But today we are talking about how can we overcome these challenges on a daily basis. We need to remember that God is on our side. We need to remember that in everything that we come across, we are not alone. God is with us. He's taking care of us. He's fighting on our behalf. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4 says that the Lord is going with us. He is fighting against our enemies, and he gives us victory. And we need to remind ourselves this all the time when we encounter challenges. We encounter challenges on daily basis, but we need to come to a point where we are able to trust God for every challenge that we encounter, and we are able to overcome the challenges. God does not want us to live our lives in fear and not knowing what to do and always feeling down as if the Lord has forsaken us. But he wants us to live victoriously. He wants us to overcome. The word of God says that if we are born of God, we overcome the world. So we need to remember that whenever we encounter daily challenges, that we are born of him. And because we are born of him, we overcome the challenges that come through into our life on a daily basis. So the word of God says here, let us lay aside every weight that slows us down, and let us run our race with patience. Now, running the race, we need to run the race with patience, not comparing ourselves to other people, not comparing ourselves to their pace, because if we do that, you will then realize that other people, their race might seem as if it's faster than yours, or yours is slower than theirs. So don't run your race focusing on other people, but run your race and focus on your race, and run your race with patience, trusting the Lord in every to take you through every step of the way. So I'm saying today, let us focus on overcoming the daily challenges that we come across in our personal lives. Number one, we need to position ourselves. When you read Exodus 14:14 says, position yourself, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord brings us salvation when we are standing still and when we are trusting him with the challenges that we come across. Most of the time when we go through challenges, we want to start first by trying to sort out things on our for ourselves, but we need to come to a point where we be still and know that he is God, and allow him to fight on our behalf and allow him to intervene in our daily challenges. So we need to position ourselves and remain calm and trust the Lord in the daily challenges that we come across, so that the Lord can bring us victory. And we also need to bear in mind all the time, whenever we are faced with challenges and difficult situations, that the Lord will bring us victory. Yes, victory is for us, but the battle is definitely not ours. The battle is of the Lord, and we need to allow God to fight on our behalf. That's what God wants. Hence, he says in Isaiah 30, verse number 18, he says, I desire to be gracious upon you. So the Lord all the time, he desires to help us. He desires to rescue us. He desires to intervene in our daily situations and daily challenges that we encounter. We shouldn't come to a point where we tend to think that there are challenges we can hand over to him, and some of the challenges we can come up with our own solutions. But we need to allow God to intervene in our lives in all challenges, whether they are small or they are big challenges. But let us allow God to intervene. And number two, when we read the word of God in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. And we need to be prayerful on daily basis. We need to trust the prayer like our own breath. You know, we can't make it without prayer. And we need to be, we need to come to a point where prayer, it is our lifestyle. It is not something that we struggle to do, meaning that we need to be prayerful whether things are going well in our lives and whether things are not going so well in our lives. But we need to trust in the power of prayer and be prayerful ourselves, and depend on prayer, because prayer, it is a method, it's the only method that we can communicate with the Lord with. It's that moment where you are able to tell him about your worries, to tell him about your fears, to tell him about your frustrations. And we need to make that time where we come and we lay everything before him, so that he can be able to fight on our behalf and to help us in our time of need. So prayer, we cannot do without prayer. We need to be prayerful, like Paul and Silas. We remember the word of God in Acts 16:25. The word of God says that when after Paul and Silas were thrown into a cell after being beaten, instead of focusing in the pain, instead of focusing in what was going on at the time, they chose to rather pray and praise the Lord. And we need to do that on our daily basis as we encounter challenges, as we go through the valleys, as we go through difficult times. We need to trust the Lord and forget about the pains and forget about the hurts and forget about the discouragement, the disappointments that are happening around our lives. Let us focus on prayer, even if it is hard at times to pray. Just force yourself to do it. Just force yourself to do it, because you need God's intervention in everything. So let us be like Paul and Silas and learn to depend, fully depend on prayer. As they were praying and as they were praising God, the prison doors open up, and there are things that our prayers, there are things that our praise will bring, our prayers and praise will bring us victory as we depend more and more on that. It is a weapon that God has given us. Prayer, it is one of the powerful weapons that God has given to us. Praise is a powerful weapon that the Lord has given unto us, and we need to use this weapons in our daily challenges, and trusting God at the same time to help us to conquer all the battles that we come across on our daily battles. So we need to communicate to God everything that is happening in our lives. We need to communicate with them whenever we're feeling down. We need to communicate with them. We need to tell him our worries, our fears. We need to speak to God about everything that is happening in our life, so that God can continue to fight on our behalf, so that God can continue to help us on our journey. And we need to remain focused on him, not on the challenges that we are coming across. There are so many things that are happening. If we will allow the challenges that are happening to move our focus from the Lord, then we're going to be distracted in most of the time. But we need to come to that point where we have learned not to focus on the things that are happening, not to focus on everything that the enemy throws at us. But let us lift up our eyes to the hills. Let us lift up our eyes unto the Lord and focus on him. Even if the challenges are forcing, or they are, you are going through too much of a pressure, but you need to come to that point where you are focused on God and on him alone. And as we focus on him, I believe that God will keep on renewing our strength and giving us a way forward. And as we focus on him, he will make sure that everything of ours is going as planned. Because when we start to focus on everything that is happening around, and we forget important things like praying, like praising, like fellowshipping, we forget important things that we need to be doing. So it's very important that even when we go through daily challenges, we need to remain focused on God, remain focused on Jesus, remain focused on the relationship that you have with him. Remain focused and remind yourself that victory does not come to us. We don't bring ourselves victory, but it is God who brings us victory. And number three, and the word of God in Psalms 34, verse number 4, there David is praying unto the Lord, and he says, I prayed, and he answered, and he delivered me from my fears. And I want to encourage you that as we go through the daily challenges, fear not. Fear not, because the Lord is with you. Sometimes we go through so much pressure and we find ourselves fearful. But I want to encourage you to fear not, and remind yourself that the Lord is with you, and the Lord, he will deliver you from whatever challenge that you are going through. Yes, you might be going through financial difficulties, maybe it's family problems, maybe it's marital problems, we can name all the problems, but whatever that you are going through, have no fear. Trust in the Lord, and the Lord will make a way for you. So David says here, I prayed and he answered me and he delivered me from my fear. So as we pray, the previous point that I've mentioned, as we pray as well, the Lord is able to deliver us from our fear, and he gives us relief as we pray and we draw nearer and closer to him. So let us not fear, but let us fix our thoughts on things which are positive. When we read Philippians 4:8, it says to us, fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, on what is right, on what is pure, on what is lovely and what is admirable. I know that sometimes because of challenges, we find ourselves not fixing our thoughts on the positive, but we find ourselves fixing our thoughts on the negative stuff, things that are pulling us down. But I want us to pray this and try to do this as we encounter daily challenges, to fix our thoughts on things which are true. The word of God is true. The promises of God are true. So let us fix our thoughts today, even if things are not going our way, but let us encourage ourselves through the word of God and remain focused on the word of God and be very careful of the thoughts that we allow into our minds. Let us make sure that we allow thoughts that will build us up and not destroy us. Let us allow the thoughts that will boost more of our faith rather than boosting the fear. Because the more we are fearful, the more we lose our faith. So we need to be very careful as well on that, that whenever we go through daily challenges, let us not be fearful. Let us rather pray to God to increase our faith rather than the fear. So we need to come to that point where we overcome that as well. And if you can't overcome it, let it be your prayer item that, Lord, help me to overcome my fears. Deliver me from my fears, like David did, pray unto the Lord. The Lord always wants us to live in victory, not to live a defeated life. So we need to try by all means to do it in the way that God, it will please God. So let us not be fearful. Know that God is with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And he is the one who is going with us. He is the one who is fighting against our enemies. And he's the one who's bringing us victory. It is the intention of our Lord that to demonstrate his mighty power through us. So the challenges that we go through, they shouldn't make us feel like the Lord has forsaken us, or they shouldn't make us feel like we are not worth it or loved enough. But we should see it as an opportunity for the Lord to demonstrate his mighty power through us and through our challenges. If we don't go through challenges, people will never come to a point where they know the mighty power of God. It is through these tough times, it is through challenges, it is through difficult times where God comes through for us and overcome on our behalf that people see the mighty power of God. So let us allow him to allow the situations to come through our ways so that he will be able to be glorified at the end. Number four, we need to remind ourselves on our daily challenges. We're speaking about overcoming daily challenges. So number four, let us remind ourselves that Jesus fought on the cross the battle for us, and he won all the battles for us at the cross. And he still continues every day to win the battles on our behalf. We need not to be afraid, because Christ has won all the battles on our behalf. On the cross, he won the battles. He fought the battles on our behalf, and he won them on our behalf. We are victorious today because Christ Jesus, he was nailed on the cross. Christ Jesus, he was crucified. And at that moment, he was winning the battles on our behalf. He fought against our sicknesses. Lord Jesus fought against our infirmities at the cross. He fought against the sin and death on the cross. And he rescued us from the kingdom of darkness to into his kingdom. At the cross, Christ Jesus has done it all. And he still continues to fight our daily battles. So let us not be afraid or try to fight our own battles, because Jesus is fighting our battle. He wants to fight those battles on our behalf. The word of God in Colossians 2, verse number 15, says that Jesus defeated the spiritual rulers and powers. With the cross, Jesus won the victory and defeated them. He showed the world that they were powerless. So at the cross, he defeated the spiritual rulers. He defeated the powers of darkness. And he won the victory on our behalf. He defeated all. And he proved to the world that everything else, it is powerless and he is mighty. So we need to trust in the Lord as we go through these daily challenges and not try to fight on our behalf. Let us be still and know that he is God. Even if the storm can be so powerful, at times we want to do something to help, to remedy our situation, but we need to come to a point where we relax and we just allow him to fight on our behalf, because I want to remind you that the battles, they are not ours, but the battles are of the Lord. So we don't need to fight in our daily battles, but we need to allow our Lord to fight on our behalf. Change number five, let us change the way we approach our daily challenges and start approaching our daily challenges in the spirit. Most of the time, whenever we go through challenges, we want to approach people, we want to fight people, we want to pray against the people who are against us. But the word of God, when we read Ephesians 6, 11 and 12, it says to us, verse number 12, that for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against the rulers, the authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So we are wasting our time trying to fight against human beings, because our battle, it is not flesh and blood. We need to train ourselves on that. We need to fight our battles in a right way. We need, the word of God says in 11 that we need to put on all of God's armor, so that we'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. So we find ourselves trying to fight people using the wrong armors. Our armors are not carnal. The word of God says our weapons are not carnal. But our weapons, we use spiritual weapons to fight our daily battles. And we need to be to remind ourselves now and then that we are not fighting flesh and blood, but we are fighting against evil rulers. We are fighting authorities. We are fighting against mighty powers in this dark world. And if we can get that, we will realize that if we are fighting against such, then we need God in our battles on daily basis to fight on our behalf. And we need to use the correct weapons for our battles, because now when we fight, we are fighting using carnal weapons, and with the hands, we are losing so many battles in our daily in our daily life. But we need to come to that point where we realize that without him, we can't be victorious. We are victorious because he is with us. He is going before us, and he's the one who's fighting our enemies. He knows how to approach our enemies. He knows how to fight our enemies, and we don't know, because we don't understand what we are fighting up against. So the battle is not ours. We need to remember that. The battle is not ours. The battle is of the Lord. What we need to do is to put on God's armor, so that we may be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the enemy. Number six, when you're facing daily opposition as well, remember that the word of God says we are not using the weapons which are carnal, but we are using the spiritual weapons. So as we fight in our daily battles. We need as well to come to a point where we stand against everything that is opposing the truth of God in our life. What is the truth that I'm speaking about? I'm speaking about the word of God. Everything else that is speaking and it's opposing what God has spoken all over your life, we need to come to that point of 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, where it says we demolish arguments. We need to wake up every morning during the day, just before we sleep, we need to come to that point where we demolish arguments and every pretension that set itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Let everything obey Jesus Christ, and we need to do that on our daily basis, to demolish all the arguments, everything that is opposing the word of God in our lives, everything that is standing against the word of God in our lives, we need to come against that. And that the last one, we need to trust in the Lord. We need to trust in the Lord with all our heart, because when we put our trust in the Lord, he will never put us to shame. He will never put us into confusion. So every day we need to trust in the Lord. We trust in the Lord on a daily basis. We trust on his abilities. We trust that he is able to make way for us. We trust that he will fight all the battles for us. And we just need to trust God completely and doubt him and have no doubt that God, and believe that God in every situation, he'll come through for us and he will fight on our behalf. So let us trust in the Lord and put our trust in him, and be rest assured that if we put our trust in him, he will never put us into confusion. Yes, the realities of this life and the facts of this life might make us to be a little bit doubtful, but we need to overcome that and pray about it, that the Lord will help us not to focus too much on the realities or to entertain the realities of life, but let us rather trust and believe in the Lord and his word and his promises, because they are true and they are amen in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We give you the praises and we give you the glory and honor. We pray that you will help us to overcome our daily battles. Father Lord, I pray and I'm confident that you who have begun a good work in us, you will carry us until its completion, Father. We thank you. We give you the praises. Continue to fight on our behalf. I pray for strength for each and every person who's faced with battles in their lives. Father, we pray that you help them, mighty God, and help them to overcome and to win in their daily fights. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we thank you. We give you all glory and honor in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you. Until next time, God bless you.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.